Humble and Fred, brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print.
It's Humble and Fred Radio. A couple seconds from now, one of Canada's most decorated comedy soldiers, Derek Sagan, is going to be with us.
Yes, sir.
All right, just relax now. But first, let's welcome back everyone. And are we going to Facebook Live this? You can just do some of it if you want. I don't care. Well, welcome back everyone. This program, Baked Fresh, each and every day, brought to you by the Chamber Plan, the Chambers of Plan of Insurance. Chambers Insurance Plan.
Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one plan for employee benefits for small business. You can go to chamberplan.ca and get a free quote. Employee benefits enjoyed by 30,000 Canadian businesses. They've been around for over 40 years, very stable. So your small business gets involved, you're part of a big group, and it's great for health and dental insurance, travel insurance, and, as I found out the other day, as Humble and Fred being part of the Chamber Plan, semi-private.
What?
Semi-private hospital accommodation.
Wow, fancy.
Mm-hmm. I had pictured myself being in one of those wards, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or something.
Walking around with your ass hanging out of your hospital gown.
But it was semi, and my first roommate was a nice guy, the second guy was a big arsehole. But anyway.
Well, as long as it all worked out. All worked out for you.
Hey, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one plan. Get a free quote. Chamberplan.ca is where to go.
Phil, you're going, when are you going back to Cambodia? When are you going to Singapore?
Yes, I'm going to Singapore in December, but Mum's going to Cambodia tomorrow.
Mum is.
Yes, she's off to Taiwan and Singapore.
Now, is she taking the Cambodia. Gig Sky?
Yes, she is.
Is she really?
Yes, good old Rudra Rishi Maharaj has provided my mother with a Gig Sky SIM, and Pearlie's going to try a Gig Sky SIM as well to try the service out in Cambodia.
Well, listen, whether your family's going to Singapore or your wife lives in Cambodia, that's a true story. By the way, his wife lives in Cambodia.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Have you ever met her? Or like,
I mailed her in.
Have you ever met her?
But before we... That's Derek Sagan, by the way. He's one of Canada's comedy superstars, and he's going to hang with us here in a second. If you're in Singapore, North America, Europe, Asia, anywhere, make sure you get the Gig Sky plan working for you. Now there's all sorts of new rates, and we just announced, of course, Gig Sky being included in the new iPhones. Mm-hmm. I was hanging with Rudra on Friday. We did some golfing. I had him join my brother and I during a round of golf, which I do occasionally.
Very generous.
And we had a nice, Humble and Fred Radio will be expensing some of these things.
No.
It was worth it, I'll tell you, because, you know, here's the thing about Rudra. He's been so good to us. He's so good. He's good to Phil's mom.
Absolutely.
If you want to sign up, go to humbleandfredradio.com. The hotspot's cheap. The SIM is now almost free.
Basically.
Is it free?
Yeah,
it's basically free.
Go to humbleandfredradio.com for that free SIM.
Listen, I don't know how you're living your life, but anyway. please welcome to our program. He's never actually, I thought there was, we just had this conversation. I thought for some reason he had been here before, but he's been on the phone. I mean, that counts for something. He's one of Canada's finest comedians, I believe they're called.
Yep.
And on top of being really funny, this is it's not the norm. He's also one of the nicest people you ever meet. Derek Sagan, everybody.
Woo!
Derek.
Hey. Thank you. That's so nice. Thank you. What a nice welcome.
Yeah. Now, you're from Montreal?
Yeah.
And how does that inform your comedy point of view? It's not the worst opening question anyone's ever asked you.
Well, I guess we have a little bit of a different perspective on a lot of things, like on the news cycle. We also, just because I travel all over the country, I'm used to people being, hey, Tabernacle, Putin, May West.
This is the reaction.
So basically, we just feel everybody outside of Quebec is stupid.
Didn't it used to be Pepsi May West?
Pepsi May West. Yeah, we had this conversation yesterday. I went and did Jean-Paul, you know Jean? Jean-Paul?
Oh, yeah, the comedian.
He just started a podcast.
French.
And his producer just right out of the gate, called me a pepper. I'm like, what?
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 And he's like, oh, it's derived from Pepsi, so it can't be that. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Jew. Like, you know.
Is that what you said?
No, yeah. I didn't say that.
So people are calling me that all the time. They go, hey, Jew boy. I'm like, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah,
come on.
I guess the way you say it. Yeah, but he was just like, hey, pepper. Well, you can't say that. That's like.
Well, is that.
Well, what is that? What's it mean?
It doesn't matter what it
means. It's an old derogatory term.
What does the N-word really mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just a word that ends up with a lot of derogatory.
But there's but that's a real old-fashioned Quebecois insult, because that comes from when we were...
Yeah, but the N-word comes from Negro.
Right.
Pepper would come from, like, what connection to the French
He pocket? Said it's from Pepsi, but it didn't make a little bit of sense that, I guess, when, like, just Coke was getting so mad at us. Coke has a lot of power. And remember in the 60s and 70s, they did those taste tests where they cover up the cans, and I guess everybody in Quebec kept choosing Pepsi, and Coke was like, son of the, would you stop choosing the wrong one, you stupid Pepper? I don't know.
That's where it came from.
That's where it came from.
You know, we worked together last spring. I haven't seen you since this happened to me. I did a gig in, like, June, where somebody in the audience stood up and said the following. They went, hey, Mr. Jew Man. It was like, well, that it was respect. It was weird. Literally, yeah. I had nothing to say.
Mister, at least mister. He threw the mister.
That's what I said.
It,
at least he said mister.
He would have said Mr. Pepper.
Hey, Mr. Pepper.
Or Dr. Pepper. Hey, there we go. Hello. I've just got an honorary degree.
It's same where did frog come from? I wonder. Do you know that?
Frog's legs. I think.
Because we eat them. But we don't. The French and France do. I mean, we do. I do. I eat anything that used to crawl around.
And what about what about the hockey part? I've lived in Quebec for a couple of years. It's like, you know, you can't help but be a Hab fan.
And it's a tough time.
It is. These are tough times.
It's glorious.
But imagine him. He's been a Leaf supporter his whole life, and that hasn't been easy.
Yeah, there was a little overlap there, like 3 or 4 years ago, where we both sucked, which was was nice. So everyone's on an even keel. We don't even talk about hockey very much.
Yeah.
But now you guys look pretty good, and we do not at all.
Well, it's cyclical, as they say.
Do they still have a goaltender in Montreal? Or is everybody
Carey
trading
Price.
Him? Is Carey still there?
Yeah.
Because I know PK got traded away, and they... what do you got? So Carey Price, didn't you just get signed for
8 years? 10 years, million.
Yeah, last year. And our backups always seem to look good too. We pump out these backups and then trade them away. I mean, I'm not that hockey expert, but I think like 2 years ago, we could have got like that star centerman for Carey Price. I don't think we can anymore.
No. Not with that contract. Do you live in Toronto now or still in Montreal?
No, I still live in Montreal. I have to drive as soon as I'm done here. I'm headed back.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Are these heated seats, or did you guys just warm it up with your bums?
Were you sitting there?
Yes, it's probably.
Yeah, it's here. Yeah. Phil's got a very warm torso.
His wife's in Cambodia, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Got a lot of pent up.
I'm trying to remember why. Derek wants you to know he is doing some shows. Are you in town this week? Oh, yeah. Where are you?
I just did Hamilton. I'm doing Montreal this coming weekend, but my tour show, my last two tour shows of the year are October 20th in Brampton
at the Rose Theater. Right.
And then I'm doing Comedy Bar on October 20th. Kind of end off on a casual, small venue note.
Yeah, Derek's been on tour last spring and once again this fall. These are big shows he does. This is how many times have you been on Just for Laughs? Like
10?
Yeah. This is a gentleman you see on the same stages as some of the biggest comedians in the world. He is. I don't think you get it. He's a big comedy superstar.
So Rose Theater Brampton, lovely facility.
I've never been.
I live in Brampton. Oh, it's gorgeous theater. So you're like the headliner for that, and that's like your show?
It's my show, yeah.
Well, that is big. That's
big like
stuff.
800 people, 800 seater. Yeah. And that's why Derek's here. He wants to make sure we put the bums, warm bums in the seats.
Warm bums. Yeah, Phil, can you just come warm up the whole theater's worth of seats?
Now, who else is on this show? October 19th at the Rose Theater in Brampton, along with Derek's again. Who else will we see?
I don't even know if I'm going to bring it open.
Don't bring it open. Just walk out.
Why don't you come and do 10 minutes?
I'll do whatever you want.
Mr. Jew Man.
Hey, Mr. Jew Man. You know, it's funny because I got to know Derek. I'm a huge fan of his comedy before I met him. And I mentioned in the introduction that, you know, not everybody that you admire turns out to be such a good guy. Sometimes comedians can be mercurial and dicks. And
volatile.
But we had a great conversation. I watched Derek. You know, when you see somebody really have a great set, that's one thing. But when you see somebody turn the room into something different. That's what Derek does.
Thanks.
No, you do. And I watched you on, I think it was, was it? I saw him do a Sunday show. Like, Sunday shows are horrible, but he yeah. not only he packed the room and everyone had a great time, and women wanted to get your autograph and things. Men wanted to be next to you and just be friends.
I did that. Same club last night, the Nubian show, the Kenny Robinson show, and
explain what that is. For 20 years or so,
it's an all years. 24, I think they said. Yeah,
is it an all black show or all color show?
It's yeah, it's billed as the all black comedy show, but obviously it wasn't all black last night because I was on the show and I'm not black.
You're not?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say
sitting at home.
I was going to say you're hiding it. Well,
no, yeah. Uh-huh. So they do. They do. It's you know, it's 2018. Everybody's open to everything. But I'd never, you know, like you hear a lot about it. I've been around for 10 years. I've been hearing about it. These audiences are very honest. If you suck, they're going to tell you. If you're good, they will tell you that too. So I was a little apprehensive going in. What should I talk about? And it went great. I think that nervous energy for me often turned into just the right kind of energy and enthusiasm.
And did you do like a full set or just like a
10 minute? Everybody 10 do 10 minutes. Yeah.
And how were you received? You walked out and the audience, were they a little suspicious? Were the only white guy in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah,
not the only one in the room though. But so that was good. I felt like some people were quite apprehensive and not
like looking, judging you.
Like, well, man, can't we have this one thing? I don't know. That's the feeling I got. I was probably reading more into it. You know what I found though? It's odd. Is the people that were giving me the most stern, judgy look were white women.
Well, because I like black guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's you know what? That's the sense. Again, I might be totally wrong, but there was this one girl in particular, just like, you know, like sucking her teeth with her eyes. You know, like, yeah, who's this guy? But I ended up winning her over. Like something, you know, sometimes when you're on stage, you pick out a few people that you're like, oh man, I gotta get that one, and that'll be. That seems like my toughest audience right there.
That's everyone in the audience for me. Yeah. Everyone just looks at me like, why are you here?
At what point do you choose or decide what the 10 minutes are that you're going to use? Do you get a feel for the room and then decide, or well, you know I'm, going in?
I'm a long, long form person, so 10 minutes is like half of one joke for me.
Oh, okay.
So I went up and just said hello, made up some nonsense about whatever was on the top of my head, and then... watching the previous two or three people got, they like sexy, dirty, dirty time. So I went in with a sex joke and...
They like, what did you call it? Sexy, dirty time? Like, if that's not the name of a new recording of yours, it should be for you. Derek Sagan, sexy, dirty time, available on iTunes.
I like it.
Sexy, dirty time. Hey, everybody, welcome. Derek Sagan is here. You know, we talked just briefly before you came in, because he's got kids around my daughter's age. 20-year-old woman. Yeah. That's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work.
You know what? The three kids, they're all different, and each one... I'll say, like, I have friends somehow. My peers, like, people, guys in their 40s having their first kid right now. Like, they're still in diapers. And I'm like, oh, man, yeah, enjoy it. It's great. But don't think it'd get easier. It's... it's, you know, changing a diaper, poop is easy. You know, like depression and unemployment and worried about their future. You know, like the grown-up problems. And they're way still different. Your kids, though.
My kids are in their 30s. You're always a parent. You never stop worrying about them.
Yeah, it's pretty.
No, it's funny that you say that.
You just drift from one thing into another.
Because Freddie's daughter has a 4-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old. So you're just sort of going, you've just gone through this baby stage again.
Yeah.
As a grandparent. But, you know, Derek, you're right. It's funny, you know, like when you have new parents, it's like, oh, my gosh. I have a friend. He's like 31. He's got a 3-month-old. Uh-huh. Talking about staying up at night. And I used to sort of think, yeah. This is easy compared to, I mean, one of my daughters, remember, she's like 14. I came downstairs on a Sunday morning. She was curled up in her hoodie, crying. And I said to my wife, could you talk to her? I don't know what this is. She's just crying for no reason. And all your kids, girls, are
all babies do that. Stupid babies crying for no reason all the time.
Babies are stupid. What do you have? Are all girls or boys?
Girl, boy, girl.
So I have two girls.
So my middle one is a boy, and he's actually quite the doll. He's... Not to say the easiest, but he's so kind. He's such a kind boy. And he's massive, which turned out really good for me, because if he was a dick, I'd be in trouble. He's like 6 feet, 260 pounds.
Is he serious?
Yeah.
How old is he?
Well, he's 17.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, girls can be trouble, man. I had my first daughter, who is now going to be 24 in this month. She's just one of those people that's easy going, you know, things just seem to be easy to her. And my younger one, like a lot of the young ones, just the world is chaotic.
See, it's the opposite. It's my older one that everything's chaos. My little one, she just started high school this year in Quebec. High school started in grade 7. Mm-hmm. So she's only 12, but like... First day of school, like I guess I hit the snooze button on my phone, whatever, and then finally you wake up in a panic 15 minutes before she have to leave, and I, and she was all ready. She made herself a lunch. She's like all ready to go, and I'm standing there in my boxer shorts. She's like, "See you, Dad." I'm like, "No, you don't want me to walk into the bus. Wait for me." Like, she's like, "No, get out of here." She took care of everything. The other two would never. They would have never ever been able to pull that all together on their own.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's good to know, because if you were a full-time layabout, she'd be okay. No problem.
Yeah, I guess that's what happened. The third kid, like, we have no pictures of her. I guess she's just used to bringing herself up, so even first day of school.
Isn't that funny? Because, you know, with new parents, you know, that first baby, you know, you have so much. It's like you have a documentary called First Baby, Second Kid. Yeah. My joke is my second kid, I've got a couple courtroom sketches, and I'm not sure who they are.
My first kid, I have volumes of notebook that I was writing. Oh, today you took a poop at 1:30, and it needed 3 wipes, and then I put your pink outfit on with the little bell on the toe. And the second kid, already just by the second kid, my boy, my son, picture in the hospital. That's it. I don't think I have anything else. The little one, I mean, I don't even know if there's evidence. Does she have a birth certificate? I don't even think we did.
He's right. He's like a ghost in the... Now, you don't... How long ago have you... you're not with their mother? Or do they have multiple mothers? I know you
they all the same. All the same mother? Yeah, that's another racist thing, because I'm French-Canadian. Of course, I have 3 baby mamas.
I don't know what you do. I'm a Jew from Moose Jaw. I don't know what's happening in your world.
No, they're all the same, Mom, but we split up in 10 years ago, 2008, we split up.
Still friends?
No.
Really?
Well, I mean, we're civilized to each other, because we were friendly for the first 8 years, and then she sued me. She found out I was doing pretty good, and she actually sued me. She wanted money, which I didn't owe her, and I tried to explain to her, I don't owe you any money. You owe me money. On paper, technically, you know, like, and she didn't believe me, because all her little girlfriends were like, no, the man is supposed to pay. Yeah, the man's supposed to pay if he takes off with another chick or something, but I have the kids more than you do.
Do you live close to each other?
We did. She moved kind of far now, so the two older kids... sadly don't see their mother a lot, especially my oldest daughter, because it's not the end of the world, it's like 30 minutes away, but but their whole life, their friend, their job, their school, it's all closer to have the place where they grew up. So
right. Well, listen, if you want to hear more of this hilarious discourse,
sorry, man.
No, it's great. I would rather have these kind of conversations than trying to, you know, get you to tell me stuff from your act. But I will say this, if you're going to be in town October 19th at the
October 18th
at the Rose Theater. Warning may contain nuts is the name of this show.
Yeah, I'm never naming anything that long again.
No. It's the last leg of Derek's first ever solo tour. This is your chance to see him in a soft theater. I've done that theater. I actually opened for Glenn Foster in it.
Oh, nice.
And it's great. The stage is great. It's one of those things where the sound in the room is beautiful. The audience is all sitting there. They're all, and it's a great night out.
I've really enjoyed doing these soft theaters. I mean, there's nothing like getting down and dirty in a comedy club, but this going out and to be there, whether, you know, like 200 or 500 people show up to see me, I know that they're there to see me, right? It's not just, let's go down to the Yuck Yucks or whatever. So it's, I've really, really enjoyed it. And there's some beautiful theaters, so here in Ontario. That place in Burlington, the arts,
It's
performing
arts,
it's so nice. Mississauga too, the living
arts.
Yeah, there's the Rose in Brampton. Those two you mentioned. There's another one in Oakville. It's a soft cedar above 500, and then it's this whole circuit. One in Markham. I'm not sure the one in Hamilton. Do you know Phil?
Isn't that like Coffs Coliseum?
I did the Zoetic in Zoetic Theater in Hamilton.
Well, sounds amazing.
No, it's not up there with these other ones.
All right. Okay.
It's all right. It's a little older. But it's been fun. Hey, listen, whatever, any room that will let me go in and do my stupid nonsense, it's pretty great.
Did you do Just for Laughs this summer in Montreal?
I did the Nasty Show this summer.
And who did you work with?
There was Brad Williams, Mike Britt, The host was Bobby Kelly. Do you know Bobby Kelly?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's wonderful. Who else was on that?
Let me ask a stupid comedy question. Because, you know, it's a tough... people say it's a tough time for stand-up because there's so many things you can and cannot talk about. But your show, it's not political. You don't... Nothing... all this... nothing seems to get in your way.
I'm a white man living in 2018, so I'd be lying if I said I'm not aware of what's happening. So, but on stage, I guess I don't. It's in my regular day-to-day life that I worry about it more. But I used to be quite political, and it's just it doesn't seem to be as funny anymore. It's kind of sad. Right now is a very scary time in the world. Like the fact that the Me Too movement, which is very important, and I consider myself a feminist. I have two daughters, I have a mother, I think I'm a feminist. But so the fact that the Me Too movement is gaining traction is a great thing. But I think there's like extremes on and there's some parts of it that aren't fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody, you know, if they're honest with themselves, will agree that it's not fantastic. What I find interesting though, that the movement is getting so much traction at a time when we have leaders that are just abominable people in terms of even misogyny. I mean, it gets worse. There's racists and liars and stealers. There's stealers. I don't think that's a thing. Which, by the way, screw the stealers.
Don't get too technical.
Yeah. Just awful, awful people. But the regular Joe that, you know, look at somebody's bum is going to be... fired from his job or whatever. I'm like, hey, could we have a balance?
Well, we've noticed that with the political stuff, too. You can over-index because I think, number one, people are uncomfortable with it because they're getting so much of it. Number two, a lot of people aren't totally aware of the issues. So you start getting into politics, I think sometimes they feel left out. So it's almost better to not go there.
Yeah, and it's good that, you know, to this point, marginalized groups are finding their voices. The LGBTQ. God, I was talking to Shanti Marastakas, who won.
Yeah, she won the SiriusXM Top Comic.
So I was on a show with her, and she was like, she went so LGBTQ, and then she list off like another 42 letters. I'm like, how the hell do you remember that? It's all like all these other peripheral things. I'm like, this is getting too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you know what? It's like anything else. It's always and we've talked about this, the pendulum swings one way to the other. Right now, it's, you know, it's tense times for, you know, old white guys like us, because you're not sure what you should say. But when it comes to politics, and I noticed this last year doing stand-up, I used to do a couple things about Trump, and then I just got to the point where I didn't have the energy for it, and I could not predict. And that's what... Stand-up is more predictable than people would realize. You can't predict the outcome, so I just decided not to do it. Because sometimes these bits would go over okay or good, but not. Sometimes it'd just be awkward.
Right.
And everyone would be like, uncomfortable.
What about Cosby? Do you go there at all?
Because
I think it's probably the same thing even with Cosby. Because it's so icky that a lot of people just don't want to hear about it.
Did you say on the air? Was it on the air or off the air? You said people are throwing food at him.
Throwing bread at him.
Throwing
in prison,
bread at Cosby?
In prison, yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Icky is a great way to describe it, because it's not only like when I started out as a stand-up, he's obviously going to be a role model, an icon, somebody I admire. And then you find out that he's a terrible, terrible person. It's... And then that kind of crime, like they're throwing bread at him, because even prisoners, even murderers don't like sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, it's so right now, right? This, the model black father turned out to be an awful, awful predator.
Right, mm-hmm. And that's what you said about, like, it's, how do you talk about it without everyone kind of... Like, bristling a little bit. And
in the 80s, Eddie Murphy would even talk about it. Like, Bill Cosby called me, told me to stop cussing.
Right.
Cussing, really? Like, in retrospect, that's the problem.
That was your big issue?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you think about that.
That is
funny. In the 80s, he was mad at Eddie Murphy, and what happened was it caught up to him. In the 2014, when Hannibal Buress did that bit, it was another black comedian that had enough of being preached at by Bill Cosby, who we'd all heard was kind of a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he was more than kind of. He was a serial sociopathic predator. But I grew up loving him. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, you can't... 2 hours sitting down on it. First of all, he could get everybody wrapped around his finger sitting. Like, he didn't even need to stand up and impose himself.
Well,
sit there.
That's what you've struggled with. You know, there's two things. There's the guy that built the legacy, and then there's the guy... who's in prison. All right. Two different
things. And I find the trouble, I don't know about you, I find it troublesome when the people put like Louis C.K. in the same conversation as
Bill Cosby. Yeah, different. Derek Sagan, what a lovely to see you again.
So good to see you, man.
Derek's in town October 18th at the Rose Theater in Brampton.
That's right. And Comedy Bar on the 20th.
We should go.
Yes, we should. Yeah, right. It wouldn't be far.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. We could have ourselves a little get together. And
yes,
hopefully
we could.
By that time, your urethra's not burning. Because I don't want you to be uncomfortable.
Just mild burn right now.
It's Humble and Fred Radio, and we'll be back after these kind words.
Recently updated independently conducted research conducted solely by Humble and Fred. This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, as performed by the independently conducted research firm of Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred Radio!
Canada's national morning show.
Welcome back. Hey, Google, why'd you change the Gmail? Not impressed. Is there anyone...
Seems too busy or something.
Why? You know, how do I get back to Classic View?
Change is hard.
And unfortunately, we can't anymore.
No.
You can't. Thank you, Gmail.
This is the new Classic.
You know, it's funny. Is it funny or is it interesting? It's something. How you just get used to how something looks. And even though I'm sure this will be fine eventually, but today was the first day that I've been doing it for work, and now I can't find where all my things are.
Google pulled a Facebook.
Well, they pulled something.
But it's like anything, a couple of weeks from now, that'll be the new normal.
Yeah?
I just want to go back to the way it was. It was fine.
Okay. If that's the biggest problem in your life...
No, I'm sorry.
You're laughing.
You're right. No, it's your right. I should be grateful.
Do you want me to lend you some burn and then see how you feel?
Oh, God forbid you get yourself one of those chips.
Nacho chip burn.
Salty chips. Look at us. This morning, I can just wait to hear the way the show is promoted on after we're done. Today, Fred has a salty chip.
No, it'll be Derek Sagan.
Derek Sagan. What a great guy. He's really... And whether I'm at the Rose Theater or not, I would tell you that there are a few... And I don't do this very often, but there are a few guys I would ask you all if you ever get a chance to see him. Because, you know, he's funny here, but he is... He's one of the people I've seen... When I say change a room, like, people are laughing so hard they're crying. And he's such a genuinely nice guy. Like, that's what I like about him. Mm-hmm. Is that you can have a grown-up conversation. He's not... You know, he's not a child, and he's thoughtful. But when you see him do his act, it is something else. It is something to behold. Much like yourself and Spearhead Brewing Company, Fredman.
Located in Kingston, Ontario. Hey, try the Spearhead Hawaiian Pale Ale. And, you know, it sounds summery, but it's available all year round. It's bold, a 6%er. This West Coast Pale Ale brewed Hawaiian style with pineapple, naturally carbonated, unfiltered, and dry hop to provide a delicate carbonation and complex flavor. Listen, when you're talking about these craft breweries nowadays, you have to describe them in such a way because people are becoming so into it.
Discerning
when it comes to their brew. That's important.
Yeah.
So Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston, Ontario, LCBO, select beer stores, give their West Coast Pale Ale, Hawaiian Pale Ale, a try.
If you want convenience, if you want to make money while you pay money, well, why not get the Paytm app? Really, the only one in Canada that gives you an option to pay your bills with whether it's cash or credit card. You can do a bank transfer.
Yeah, you can fund your bank account. You can go to the post office and fund your account that way.
And the cool thing is you collect points for every dollar you spend. You head over to the rewards section. Hundreds of deals each and every day. And right now, you can download the Paytm Canada app for free on Google Play or the App Store. And if you use the referral code HumbleANDFred, what you'll get is $10 in Paytm cash right away. you know, besides the notifications, that's my favorite part, is I don't even have to think. I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yes.
They let me know when my bills are due.
It's part of your phone's ecosystem.
Thank you, Phil.
So it'll be called out, and you also have a bill due.
Where do you get it?
Yeah. On Paytm app over on Google Play or your Apple Store. Yes.
Thank you, sir. We got to talk a little bit about the annual ass-kicking that the Europeans give the Americans in the Ryder Cup. I'm not sure if you're aware that was on this weekend. You know, there are certain things that transcend the sport that, you know, for instance, not, you know, a lot of people watch the Super Bowl that never watch a football game, myself included. A lot of people watch the World Series, etc. You get where I'm going? The Ryder Cup for the world of golf is one of, it's become the biggest event beside a major in the golfing calendar. And the Americans are just not up to the task.
However, my observation,
yeah,
where a straight up tournament with Tiger in it is going to get a lot of peripheral, casual Tiger fans, the Ryder Cup's not very TV friendly for the casual golfer. Because I sat there with my wife, and then who else was I talking to? It's just not very clear. You watch a football game, there's the score on the screen, mm-hmm, and you know why. They got to score a touchdown. Hockey, you know, goes without saying. I think for the casual golfer, it's hard, or the casual,
well, you don't know.
You have no idea really what's going on. And then at one point, you know, one guy hits, and then the next guy hits.
Well, there's two, because there's different
formats. I'm just saying. So unless you're tuned in, it's all sort of weird. As a TV presentation, to me,
maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, for most golf fans, which is, you know, anyone watching, yeah, but even the casual,
right,
golfer would know that if you win a hole, you're up. If you lose a hole, you're down. I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't know if that seems complicated, but I don't totally buy into what you're saying. But I'm going to give you a pass because you have a burning urethra.
No. And I'll hold on to it. But go ahead.
It's become a huge spectacle around the world, and the Americans, right, as I said to you off the air, they're on paper. It should have not even been a contest, but it doesn't matter because the Europeans have grown up the last quarter century. This is what they love. Those young men that played in this thing, you know, have been watching it since they were kids, and to them, it's the most important thing they can do. It really is. And it's hard for Americans to get their head around it. And it's funny because my brother said, well, are you cheering against the Americans? I said, well, I love watching them lose because what I like to do is then I get 2 years of them trying to explain why they lost. Like, it was great. And it's great for maybe not the casual golf. And it's great golf. The Europeans were amazing. And, you know, Tiger played horrible. Phil played horrible. There were guys in the team. Most of they didn't get any points.
Maybe part of it is, you know, it's an individual sport. And a lot of those players, you know, Americans, you know what Americans are like. They bask in the glory of self-accomplishment.
That's right.
And then by the time they get over there and it's sort of the end of the season, it's like they're just not revved. They're just not there.
It's funny you say that because one of the articles I read about that, just to someone wondering why aren't they as good as the Europeans, and part of it is that they're, you know, Tiger Woods was brought up to be a lone wolf, you know, sort of same with, it's a lone wolf sport. Mm-hmm. And in America, that is prized. Whereas over there, they were brought up with a chip on their shoulder, that they weren't as good as the American tour, as American players. So to them, they have something to prove every time they do it. The Americans are like, we don't have anything to prove. We won, you know, on the American team, their average world ranking was 11th. On the European team, their average world ranking was 19th. The best players in the world were on the American team, statistically. But as you just said, they get to the end of the season, they don't have as big a chip on their shoulder. They feel bad when they lose, and then they forget about it and go back to being, you know, superstars. But it was, I didn't watch as much as I usually do because David was here, we were playing golf, but it was compelling. Mainly because you think, how can Tiger Woods play so bad?
Well, I found it quite inspiring. Was that the word I used this morning? Mm-hmm. When you tune in and these top-notch, high-profile pros, mm-hmm, are playing like normal guys. And I'm talking normal. Like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The way they were shanking them into the water and off and not hitting the fairways and blowing little chip shots. And, like, it was alarming.
the Americans.
Yeah, and some of their play was so horrible.
You know, Howard can identify to the tournament players. I can identify to this.
Well, they were brilliant. The guy that captained the Ryder Cup team from Europe set the golf course up to favor people that drove the ball straight. The Americans, none of them hit the ball straight. They just hit it far. They hit it farther than anybody other than Rory McIlroy. But that's what it was. They had a bunch of guys on their team that hit fairways and a bunch of guys on the American teams that were gouging into the water.
You know what was interesting, too, on Saturday? Mm-hmm. All the Americans were sort of bundled up.
Yes.
Like Jordan Spieth even had a toque on. All the Americans just had their T-shirts on.
Or their
golf shirts. What did I say?
You said the Americans. Yeah,
the Europeans had their... And I'm even that from that standpoint, it was a bit psychological.
Oh, yeah. They do that on purpose. Another thing the Europeans do is some of them don't... Like, they all wear caps during their regular play. Right. They've got sponsors. But a bunch of the European guys go capless.
Yeah, so it's just Rory.
Rory. He's like an animal.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And then Tiger was wearing the
rain pants.
Like...
Oh, he was cold.
Even I'm thinking, like, if... Maybe that's... Take the rain pants off, buddy. It's not even raining.
I know, but he was cold because he's old.
Tiger.
He is. I saw that. I'm like, that's what I'm like. I get cold now. I'm playing with these young kids. I'm all bundled up because I'm freezing. Anyway, it was interesting. And then it's over now. It's all over.
And next year would be the President's Cup?
Yeah, it's funny. They have the President's Cup, which is the U.S. against the world, and they have the Ryder Cup in 2 years. It's almost too much. And the Americans are always the ones having to play these guys, and it's always the attention's on them. And to be fair to them, they just got outplayed. I mean,
obviously.
But it's, and taking nothing away from the Europeans, they played really, really well. But it was a seven. It was a, you know, it wasn't like it was 14-13. It was 17.5, 10.5.
And a lot of those Europeans are used to playing in the somewhat, not that it was horribly inclement, but it was.
Yep.
And the week before, they were all like 85 degrees at, where were they for the?
East Lake, Atlanta. Yeah.
Very pleasant, warm, bodies warm. And then all of a sudden.
That's right.
You're in theoretically the same. Same climate as here in Toronto.
Similar,
right?
Yeah. It's fall, the leaves are changing, you know, it's a little cooler. And the other thing, too, the Americans have only played, a couple of them had played a tournament on that course. All the Europeans had played that course a bunch of times, including one of the Europeans had won the French Open on that golf course.
So you have the fairway, then you have first cut.
And then you have the real rough, yeah.
That was weird, some of that rough.
I know.
Like, some of the guys that got caught up in that.
Couldn't hit it out of it. It was great.
And then they hit it and then looked down at it like, I don't have an answer for this.
Anyway, the postseason...
Are you allowed to just bring some, like, scissors or something and cut it down
a bit? Yes. Yes, you can.
That's what I'm thinking. Cut it down.
Sure. I have a question for you. When is the actual season, hockey season, start? Is it soon?
Wednesday night.
What?
Wednesday night.
Two more sleeps?
Two more sleep.
Who's opening against our Leafers?
Habs.
No.
Habs.
That's kind of a tradition, isn't it?
Habs at the vault. That's what I'm calling it. The vault here
the
down Scotia there.
The Scotiabank Center?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Pretty soon it'll have a nickname. I'm sure it'll be something like that.
The safety deposit box?
Yeah.
The instant teller?
Yeah, it's Leafs and Habs. And still waiting for the signing of William Nylander. I don't know what that means to you, but he's a holdout, one of their great young guns. That doesn't have a contract yet. Time running out. We're hoping he signs in the next couple of days and start at what should be, hopefully, a great season. But as I told you, we'll probably be 10 games in. Leafs will be like 4-6. And everybody will be going, what's the matter?
You have the perfect team.
Fire the coach. No chemistry.
Or it could go the other way.
Could.
They could start the season, 10 straight wins, you know, on par for a 60-game... What's a...
50's huge.
50's huge.
Raptors won 49 last year.
Really?
Uh-huh. I believe, yeah.
Did right? They made the playoffs.
I know the Raptors.
Yeah. What's that,
hockey, I'm a hockey guy. I can tell you.
Are
those.
You?
Yes.
You know some things about hockey?
A little bit. More Detroit.
there's Sergeant Sean.
Yeah.
He's here to tell us a couple of stories. But before we get to them, the Las Vegas odds makers have got the Leafs, basically the favorite, to win the Stanley Cup. And that's a lot of pressure. But when, at what point in the season, here's my question, will you become a believer?
when the playoffs start. Nothing means anything. They've made the playoffs the last 2 years, have been eliminated in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me in the second round of the playoffs.
So if they get to the second round...
Well, then game on.
When do we start painting our faces?
Second round.
Second round.
Mm-hmm.
Conference finals?
Will you get a Maple Leaf tattoo?
No.
Should they prevail and win Laura?
I'll get a henna. Yeah, I'm into the henna.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Will you get a henna tattoo?
Yes.
If the Leafers win. I love when guys do this. Lord Stanley's Cup. Oh, shut up. Whenever I hear sports guys do that.
Lord Stanley?
Lord Stanley's Cup. Okay, we get it. You're cool.
That's what it is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
he was Lord Stanley.
The Governor General.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
And I think it even says on the cup, Lord Stanley of Byron.
What?
Lord Stanley of Byron, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
He was on the Byrons? He was... Anyway, so this is good. The Leafs start Wednesday. I love that because it gives you a focus.
No, it doesn't. I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen
I'm all set up.
What do you mean? You got your blanket downstairs?
Got my blanket ready. Yep.
Going to drink some Spearhead. You got your Spearheads cooling.
It's all good. Neighbor John got a brand new TV for behind his bar.
Nice.
Yeah. So that'll be good.
Well, good for you.
When we watch the games together.
Well, I'm excited for you. I really do hope. I mean, I think it'll be interesting. I might actually pay attention to it this year because if this becomes the year that they did it, I want to be able to have some perspective because I don't usually watch a lot of Leaf games. Mm-hmm. Usually I'll watch a playoff game. Depends who they're playing. But I want to have kind of some references. Like if this Nylander kid, you know, he gets signed and then I go, yeah, Nylander, he played well against this guy. I don't know.
This guy.
It takes no more effort for you to get into that than me golf.
Mm-hmm.
I take the time.
I know you do.
I widen my scope. Oh, I accept more things in.
And were you saying I don't? Because I don't watch 82 hockey games?
Mm-hmm. Because you speak of golf like it's irreverent. Is that a word?
Yeah, I'm not sure. What do you mean?
Irreverence. Like it's...
Oh, with reverence.
With reverence.
Yes.
I speak
of the Leafs as irreverence.
No. Yeah, right. With reverence.
Yes.
Excuse me. And then when it comes to hockey, you make little jokes and stuff.
No, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do.
Do I?
Oh, yeah.
Well, just because
you just did.
What? When I said... No, I'm interested.
Lord Stanley. Okay, shut up.
No, but you know what sports... Right. I'm not disparaging the cup. I'm just like when the guys report on it, oh, there'll be the quest for Lord Stanley's... You know what I mean? Super cheesy.
By the way, I said Lord Stanley of Byron. I think I'm completely wrong there. I was right.
Anyway. It sounded right. What was it?
It sounded right. I don't know. I think it's Lord Stanley of Preston or something.
Well, what made you say Byron?
I don't know.
Don't know. Stuff up.
Don't know.
Lord Stanley of that guy. Yeah.
I heard it somewhere.
Oh, did you? I just looked at it now online. It's Lord Stanley of the Queensway.
Oh, Lord Stanley of Worcester.
Anyway, I don't know why we're yelling. All of a sudden, there was a lot of yelling on the show. Before we get too far ahead, though, let's talk about our friend, the retirement Sherpa. If you're one of those people that is, you know, looking for financial stability into your retirement years, Tim Niblett is the man. Why? Because he's a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the
Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Last week when he was in, our fine friend, Mr. Sherps, he talked about lots of stuff about, hey, how about property? Could that be part of your financial future? You know, buy a second property, rent it out. How about something in Florida or Europe or some other place? Just add to your personal portfolio. The cost of living, healthcare, weather, leisure, language, safety, it's all part of your plan for the future on how you want to retire and at what level, what is good for you. If you need more information and you want a guy to help you through all these questions, retirementsherpa.ca, Tim Niblett. He's a winner. He's a winner.
Lord Stanley of Byron. That's not it?
That's not it.
What is it?
What is it?
He's Lord Stanley of Preston.
Oh, it is Preston.
No, it is Preston. Yeah. Preston.
I don't know.
His name is actually Sir Frederick Arthur Stanley.
Of course it is.
So it's his last
Sir
name.
Sir Frederick.
Fred Stanley.
I'm going to start calling you Sir Frederick.
Yeah, I don't know where I got the Byron thing. There's Lord Byron, right?
Yeah.
And this is Lord Stanley.
Of Byron.
I got them mixed up.
No, but it's just, you were so convincing. I loved it.
I know.
Well, it's Lord Stanley of Byron. Okay.
It's Lord Stanley of Prescott.
Here's the thing. I'm never referring to it as anything but Lord Stanley of Byron. Lord Stanley. That's what it is to me. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Gmail look on my computer is changed, but on my phone, on my phone, it's exactly like the old way.
It could be because of the model of your phone. It might be older. Because mobile view is different from computer view.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Sean is here. Highlights in the...
One other correction.
One other thing.
Raptors won 59 games, not 49. They were almost 60, not 50.
Wow.
So I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
I'm having a bad day.
Well, you can be... There's a reason. Because you had some salty chips.
Or Stanley Burning.
What's that?
Having a bad day.
He's having a terribly bad day. So the
statistically, I'm screwed.
You are 0-2 right now in terms of facts.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that walking around with no pants on was connected to the Tostitos and the if that was at all connected. That salt.
Some of the things you should know. There's been a deal between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. That's something in the news. Gordie Howe, famous hockey player. There's a bridge that's going up around Windsor. There, it's going to cost billions. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, who we all loved in Step Brothers, with some of the funniest scenes in a movie.
Oh, the beginning of that movie?
So funny.
I was laughing so hard.
There's a couple of scenes when they make the bunk beds together and the thing falls. Yeah. Like, it's very few things that will make me laugh out loud. I wish there was an acronym for that.
I saw a thing on the weekend, too, with Will Ferrell. Do you remember that thing Saturday Night Live with the cowbell?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
That's still funny.
Very funny. Yeah.
Still funny. Never hasn't gotten old.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things in the news, but we turn now to Sergeant Sean, associate producer, to tell us one of the most important things that we should know for this day. Oh, do you want to play your intro?
Super important. Not really super important at all, but this one's... No, don't worry about the intro for this one. This is no highlight in the news, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. Six Flags in St. Louis are celebrating Fright Fest. It's an anniversary edition of what they've been doing. I think it's 30 years. Mm. But they're having a 30-hour coffin challenge in the park where you can sign up to lay in a coffin for 30 hours for $300.
Wow.
And
closed?
In the end,
closed?
I don't know if it's closed or open, but you just have to lay in there. You get
That's
a six-minute bathroom
it
break.
Doesn't have any of the
you get a six-minute bathroom break per hour.
Just
I know
pause
that.
For a second.
It must
like,
be closed.
But that would be a detail you'd want to know.
That's
is
a huge,
it closed? It's a
the
huge
first
detail.
Question I asked was, is it closed? We should know the answer to that.
I know. It's all about just laying in this coffin.
Anybody can lay in an open coffin to close it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
how he did back in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm. It's like laying in a bathtub if it's open.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know,
it's kind of... I'm pretty sure that's the point of it. It's going to be an attraction within this month that you can see all the people competing.
Is it closed or open?
I don't think so. I don't know. Probably
know,
not.
Though.
I don't know.
So what
I don't
do
know
you
that
know?
One
did you
detail.
Not read the story?
I did. It doesn't say that in...
I'm sure it does.
Anyway. Okay, I'm sorry. But the I thought it was kind of neat. There is a coffin challenge. You can win the coffin in the end.
Mm-hmm. So we all need one of those.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They're not cheap nowadays.
All right.
$300 plus a free coffin.
And in the end, what have we learned about that? Where is it again?
This is at Six Flags in Darien Lake.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Sean.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Excellent report.
I thought you said St. Louis.
Yes, Six Flags, St. Louis,
so not
Darien Lake. I was wrong
in
on that
New
one.
New York.
Okay. All right.
It's funny, you know, my parents back in their 60s, they went to this funeral place and they got this deal where they paid for both of them. When they died, they would go to the hospital, get the body, cremate them, and deliver them to the front door, the ashes. Very cheap, and, you know, none of the bullshit, the stuff, none of the, you know. And I was talking to Delise last week, and I think it's time we did that. Like, it's scary, but we better think about doing that.
What, you and I?
Well, maybe, but Delise and I, because I'm at that stage in my life where you have to start thinking.
Planning.
You don't want that to end up if something happened on the in the kid's lap.
Yeah.
No.
So I'm going to go and get one of those deals.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
I bet you are.
I think inside $4,000, you're good. Ooh. Both of us.
Mm.
Yeah. What I mean, after you like someplace to put your cremated,
you die.
Yeah.
They come to the hospital,
right.
Get your body, cremate it, put it in a box, mm-hmm. and then bring it back to the family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that'll work for Delise, but I'm having you stuffed, so I'm just sit there looking at you. All right, everyone. Thanks to Derek Sagan. Thanks to Sergeant Sean. Phil Hong, of course. Fred's back, and so is his urethra.
Yeah.
Back in style. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. We broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-hour energy performance zone. We're Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
Most of all, most of all.
You may find yourself turning over in bed, and you may find yourself beside Humble and Fred, and you may ask yourself, my God, how did they get here?
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You're now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-hour energy performance zone. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STEAK.
To the court of Humble and Fred. They are the Right Honorable Judge Humble and Judge Fred.
Canada's National Morning Show. Humble and Fred Radio.
All right then, all right. That's a lot of noise. Welcome, everyone. The Humble and Fred Show, available for free for the first time since 2005.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls.
For you people not familiar with our product, this is it. You're going to hear nothing but 2 hours of stuff.
Live from the cozy confines of the 5-hour energy performance stage. Is that what we're calling this?
May I just interrupt for a moment?
What?
What is this? What do I have? What did you put in there?
Oh, I'm...
What is that? What is that fluid?
Howard's complaining about his coffee right now.
No.
Just so the people
complaining.
Know.
Complaining? Just asking. Just curious.
That was a little edgy. What is this?
What is this substance?
Well, anyway. I just had to stop because I took a sip of it and I thought, am I being poisoned? Is this how it ends?
And I had to look after the listenership who were probably trying to figure out what you were talking about.
Well, thank you.
Howard, this is radio, not television.
It's a good thing, too. I haven't shaved in about 6 days. What is it about the... what is it about cloudy days? I just don't feel like shaving.
Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. I don't know the connection. With me, I don't even think about it. I get up every morning and I shave.
And then you shave with a blade or a razor?
A blade. Yeah.
So you put a bunch of stuff in your face?
Yes.
Do you spray or is it a cream?
No, it's gel.
Gel.
Edge gel.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns into like a foamy thing.
Yeah, it comes out blue?
Yes, it does, Howard. And it's called Edge Gel.
All right,
and
I know.
You know, one
I'm familiar
can,
with.
And a one can will last me about a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just a little dab of that gel goes a long way on this face.
Well, you got a very delicate, you know, boyish face.
And I only have to shave once a day. See, you have the luxury of not skipping a day because then you look like a man.
Yeah.
If I miss a day, I look like a peach or something. You know, it's just not good.
I'm going to tell you something I did, and I'm going to
you tell me.
I'm going to tell you something I did. If you tell me if this is weird, you reminded me. So you say, like, when you buy one of those gel,
I buy the 4-pack at Costco.
Yeah, and that 4-packs will last you a year.
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious how you know it's 4 years. Like one of those,
one can a year times
1 4. Can a year.
Yeah.
So the last time you bought shaving gel was like what, a couple years ago?
2014?
Oh yeah.
Wow. You really
maybe
do.
Even longer than that, because I bought some for the Tin Palace and I leave them there. So I'm only, you know.
So it's half a year for half
out of 7 days gel. I'm only using 5 days at home. So wow. it stretches even longer.
You can steamroll a buck like nobody I've ever met.
Well, nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Nothing to do with that.
Oh, really?
I'm using all I need to use. In fact, I might be even using more than I need
excessive.
To use.
Excessive amounts? Is that what you think? So here's what I did. I don't know what had happened in the last 10 years of my life, but I've become somewhat OCD. Maybe I was before, but I didn't know it. But here's what I am fascinated by how many Q-tips I use in a year.
Oh, hmm.
So what I did is I bought a box of Q-tips. I use them every day. I use one every day.
Bad for your ears.
Mm-hmm. Look, well, I like it.
Do you stick them in your ear?
Right. No, where do you spot? I stick them in my...
No, it's all right to get the creases in your ear, but in the canal?
Right in the canal.
Ooh, not
go
good.
Right in.
You haven't learned that. You're
whatever.
A 58-year-old man.
I know, but I really like the way it feels. I get a real... Listen. I just like it.
When I was a kid...
Okay, but before you go off, do you want... Okay, keep...
No,
okay,
no, it's
go.
About it. I'm just saying, when I was a kid, I just want to tell you this. This is the weirdest thing.
Okay.
The guy that owned the camp that I used to go to, mm-hmm. a Lovesick Lake, the other park that I grew up on, he used to do his ears every... He'd get a bobby pin and stick them in. And he would grind it into his ear and almost have an orgasmic look on his face.
I'm telling you.
With a bobby pin.
I love it.
And his wife used to say, Don, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't care. And he'd just
simple,
keep going.
You know what it is? It's simple pleasures.
I know. Anyway, there you go.
Anyway, I love... I use a Q-tip every day. One side on one ear. And then, of course, the other side. Where would it go? On the other ear. Is a little bit too much detail?
Yeah, but a new one, right? You don't take the wax-filled one and put it in the other ear.
Have you never seen a Q-tip?
Oh,
it
no,
has things on either side.
Yeah, I never use them.
Oh, because they're dangerous.
No, I just never use them.
Anyway.
I'm not full of all sorts of goo.
Everyone, what, you think I manufacture more wax because I use more Q-tips?
Maybe.
Likely.
No. Anyway, no. But here's the weird part. Here's the OCD part. So I bought some, I ran out of Q-tips. And for reasons I can't explain, I guess maybe because I had a pen in one of my bathroom drawers, I thought, I wonder how long this box of Q-tips will last. So I bought it 4 days ago, and I put the date on it.
Oh.
I wrote, what is that? I don't think I would have done that as a young man. I wrote the date.
And I'm the cheap bastard.
I didn't do it for money.
Well, I didn't do... I don't do
and
the
yes,
shaving cream for money.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Anyway... I put the date on the box of Q-tips for no other reason than I was just curious how long this box would last me. I don't know why. I just thought, I wonder. So I wrote to whatever.
I wonder what?
I just wonder how long I'll have
last.
This box of Q-tips.
Yeah.
There's 400 in them. So I could predict that if I use one a day, 350, how many days in
just
the year?
Just over a year.
365.
I wasn't sure there first. I think I could have gotten it on a multiple choice.
Mm-hmm.
How many days in the year?
It's right up there with the shaving cream last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about your revealing of your shaving cream habits is I would have completely forgot that I dated a box of Q-tips. That's what I did.
You know what's interesting, too? If you have, like, regular foamy, which comes out like the white foam, it doesn't last nearly as long as the gel.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the gel isn't priced that much more than the foamy. Like, a little dab of that gel will do this face, like, for all I need.
Has anyone ever given, and this has happened to me over time, has anyone ever given you a, like, as a gift, one of the kids or something, a paste? Like an old-fashioned, you know, it's like a barber. I remember my dad
had
this with the brush, right? And you know, I've been given it as a gift by one of the girls. And you try it, and it's fun for maybe once or twice, but it's just too much. Because you got to get the thing wet, and then you got to scrub it with the brush, and then the brush has got to be cleaned.
Remember those old...
When are you going to have time to put a date on your Q-tips box?
Do you remember those old ones when we were kids, the blades?
Yes.
They were the silver handles.
Scary.
And it was a full razor blade that you laid in.
Right.
And then wound the thing to close it. You know the ones I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, they're just... they're designed differently. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what my dad would use with the brush.
It's what my father used with the brush.
And one day, it was in there, and I thought, oh, I'm going to shave like Dad. And I put a little stuff on my face, and I ran the razor blade over my lips. Oof. And I cut my lip really bad.
Oh.
Trying to be like Dad.
Why would you come? Why would you shave your lips?
Well, because I was a kid. I didn't, you know, I just thought you dragged it over your face. So I dragged it right across my mouth.
Oh, I see.
I dragged it right across my mouth and cut my lip.
See, if I was your father, that'd be the first question. I'd say, hey, that was cute, but you think I shaved my lips? Do I have hair in my lips?
I date the blade first.
I was a kid. I was probably 6 years old.
Oh.
Cut me, you know, cut me some slack.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Come on. Give a kid a break. You know, my brother's an odd character. Uncle David was here all week, and he's really... I love him. He's such a... He's a really... My older brother is such a good guy. You know, he doesn't want... He doesn't want but anything for the best for others. You know, he's not a very... He's no agenda, my brother. He has no ulterior motives. He's not a conniving guy. Maybe sometimes to his... To a detriment. Like, he's really a good person. But he's odd, man. Like... We're golfing one day. He goes, hey, listen, on the way home, can I get a haircut? I'm like, what? Like, I thought, you know, hey, on the way home, can we stop? I got to pick up some shaving. I got to go to shop. Well, that's right. He didn't have toothpaste. No big deal. I got to pick up a toothpaste. But he says to me, as we're finishing one day, hey, listen, on the way home, can we stop and get a haircut? I'm like, no. And then I realized, no, no, you can. There's a place right across the street.
Right.
But he's... You know, he's...
Yeah, a haircut's usually the type of thing you get before your trip, yes. To prepare for your trip.
Right. But it was one of those things where it's like, what? What are we doing now?
And he'd, willy-nilly, like, he'll throw his head into the hands of anybody.
And, you know, if you don't know David, he's mostly bald, but he keeps his hair very, very short. Like, on the, he's got that hair on the sides, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, it's not like, you know, some... Like, his hair had gotten out of hand, and he just had a meeting to go to on Monday, and he needs a haircut. He's just, you know, what would the difference be between Saturday and Monday in Calgary?
Yes.
But,
that's interesting.
No, he felt like he needed a haircut, so he went across the street.
Are you still getting your haircut at the Whippy Dippy place there on Yonge Street all the time?
No.
Is that where you go?
No.
Where do you go?
I haven't gone there for years.
I'm looking for a new person.
I go to a place in Oakville still.
You drive all the way to Oakville for a haircut?
I do.
Wow.
It's a great place called Fortelli's something. Spa, maybe. Hair and Spa.
Fortelli's Hair, Spa, and Sandwich Shop.
No, that's Fortino's.
You get your eggplant parmesan.
Right. I get my haircut at the meat department of Fortino's. I just...
Well, they already have the razors.
I go, listen, while you're slicing some of that pastrami... Could you take a little off?
Yes.
Hey, we're golfing. We're having a great time. Yeah, listen, on the way home, can we stop and, I don't know, can I get my pants tailored? I mean, what?
Did he go across and get it done here?
Yeah. That chaps and fades.
What'd they charge him?
A lot. By the way,
really?
Does anyone know what... I know that fades is sort of a cool way of saying a type of haircut. Do you know that, Sean? Do you know what a fade is?
Yeah, it's just fading into nothing.
Oh, okay. But it's a style. But there's a few of them on Queen Street as well. There, but this place is called Chaps and Fades, and I don't know why. But for his hair, I could have cut it. I think they charged him $30.
Not bad.
What do they charge you in Oakville at the sandwich shop?
$6.50 well, pastrami.
It really depends on how much meat I'm getting at the time.
No. What do they charge you?
I don't know what a haircut is. Like $50 or something.
$50.
I got stuff to it, you know.
I know Delise is listening right now and go, you should probably spend $50 on a haircut, Fred.
You're probably actually going to go to Fortino's now and say, hey, listen, I got an idea.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're... Here's a... You know, he got his haircut, and then he came over after And I went and got him at the door here, and he said he was very angry. And I said, what's the matter? He goes, they charged me. They had a $2 transaction fee on the machine.
What machine?
The debit credit machine.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see that on an ATM machine, yeah, but sure. Actually at the terminal?
At the actual store.
That's
the retail.
Ridiculous.
I know it is.
That's theoretically illegal, though. That's the thing. You're not supposed to charge a transactional fee for cards. Why?
I don't know if it was debit or credit.
I guess it depends. Like, if you go to a convenience store, they charge you 50 cents for debit.
Maybe. No, sometimes it's more. It can be up to $3.
I think that's allowed now under the USMC.
Oh, that is? The
USMCA. Yes.
USMCA.
The USMCA, yes.
If I told you, well, do you have any other opening remarks?
Only the observation from shaving where, you know, blades are so ridiculously expensive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they keep them behind. They act like it's like...
cigarettes, almost.
Yeah, or like jewelry. And they literally, you know, sometimes you lift the door, boop, 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 like, so they know that you're in there. And yet shaving cream is so cheap. It's almost like, okay, we'll nail them with the blades, make them feel better by making the cream cheaper.
Yeah.
But it just bothers me. I'm lucky, though. I'll use a blade for a month, right? But I'll use a blade for a month.
How do you know? Because do you date it?
No.
Do you put a...
Keep the receipt.
No. What if I became the guy, just started writing the dates that I bought things? Because it's one thing to know the best before date, but I would like to know the date I bought it.
Ooh.
What if I became that guy? It's not too late. Mm-hmm. I gotta have something to do in my 60s. What's your dad up to these days? He just writes the date on everything.
So do you use a blade or a razor?
Fred, I go sometimes because I have a very good electric razor.
Yes,
and I use it when I'm in a hurry. Which
I never
is always,
feel like I've got a good shave with one of those.
You know, I agree, but this one actually does a pretty good job. Even though I don't feel the same. So I would say 3-1. I do the electric one to, if I have more time, like on the weekend, should I have occasion to be with girlfriend Rachel, and I want my face to be smooth for obvious reasons.
Well, how many times would you use a blade before you dumped it?
Not very many.
Really?
Yeah, because I've got a very
coarse, bristly stubble. Yeah. See, mine, the electric razors, too, it tugs at my peach fuzz.
Yes.
Sometimes it tugs and grabs, and I can let my... And it's just hanging off my face onto the
Now,
on
what
the
about
peach fuzz.
What about the basement? What do you use down there?
What are you talking about?
Well, down in the basement. Do you use a straight razor, or do you use a... Do you have a trimmer?
Why the basement?
Well, your basement area, we'll call it.
Oh, I get
down
it.
Down in the root cellar.
I use neat.
Where you...
Feet.
Yeah.
I cream my hair away down there.
No, you use Nair. Did your mother ever do that?
I don't know.
Did your mother ever Nair her mustache?
Don't know, Howie. I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to tell you something I've never told you about Luba. I remember my mother would walk around sometimes. And I didn't really understand what was going on because I was young. And I thought, oh, is mommy wearing makeup? Like clown makeup? Because she would have a white strip. This is what women did in the 60s when they weren't having, you know, vodka martinis at 11 in the morning, you know, followed by some Valium and a pack of smokes. She would walk around with like I don't know what women do to their mustaches now, but they have them, you know. But she put a bunch of white stuff and she'd walk around. And I guess you have to have it on for half an hour and she'd just walk around with it. And it's strong, sort of ammonia smelling stuff because it's got to get to the roots. But I didn't realize till later what she was doing. She was narrowing away her mustache hair.
And did she do this with great frequency?
I couldn't tell you.
No, what I'm saying, she suffered from Alzheimer's. I just wonder if that type of chemical entering your mouth or your face on a listen, and I'm serious. Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day in the 50s and 60s, the stuff that was used and abused without any knowledge of the side effects, the repercussions, who knows?
Well, listen, Senator, I can't sit here and with any clarity recollect how many times Luba G.
Enough that you remember.
through the whatever that was on her muscle. And I certainly don't want to make a connection between the fine folks at Nair and Alzheimer's. You can't ask me to do that.
What was neat? I thought...
It's Veet. Oh. Which is the competitor.
No, there was neat. Neat. I think there was
were
neat.
Were neat and Nair the same type of product?
Nair. I don't know.
Cream hair away?
So what do you... That's what you use on your basement shrubbery? You could probably use toothpaste.
Extra whitening. Mm-hmm. A little Colgate. Hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. The older you get, the angrier it gets down there, right? You got to keep her down.
Oh, you do.
Or it'll overtake you.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it at the top of your pen.
I was going to say, starts coming out above your belt.
Ooh, yeah.
Oops. You're like, what's that?
I do.
Yes, well, sure. Anyway, we're gonna start the show at some point. I can't remember what I was about to go and show you. Lots to get through. Lots of... yes, I know what it was. We're going to get to some of your emails. A lot of people very, very concerned about the TERP patient. People are still, helping me find out more about living with gout. Mm-hmm. This is what we do.
The gout report.
The gout report. We're going to play you some of that audio from Matt Damon in case you missed it yesterday. I'll tell you about a movie I saw. It's a very scary time in the world. And a follow-up from one of our Hundy Peas about something that came up on the show, I think toward the end, when Sergeant Sean presented a story. And once again, didn't have all the information. But some of the audiences followed up.
Before our first break... Tell you a sweet little story. Imagine you being in this position. Okay?
Do you want to? Because I was about to show you something. But No, but that's fine. What is your sweet story?
Because we're going
to
show me something on the radio.
I'll tell you what. Well, no, I'm going to play you something.
Okay.
But I can do it after the break if you want. What I'm going to do after the break is I'm going to play you. Don't look, Phil.
Yep.
I'm going to play you something that I'd never heard of until like the weekend that's been seen by over 2 billion human beings.
Okay, well, that's a tease. You got to drag that through the break.
Drag that thing.
Drag it. Coming up.
No. Coming up after the break.
Winnipeg, I think it was Saturday afternoon. A couple are getting married in a park in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. A guy rides by in a bike, and everybody looks and goes, no, it can't be. And yes, it was. It was Paul McCartney.
Wow.
Riding a bike in a Winnipeg park. Early Saturday afternoon, people were just getting married there, and he came back and swung around, and they said, hey, are you Paul McCartney? And he said, yes, and he got off his bike, and he took, they photobombed, is that what you call it or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? And they took pictures of it, and the irony was the young couple who got married, early 30s, not real Beatle fans, the Beatles are just something mom and dad listened to.
Sure.
And it wasn't until after this, after this, whatever you call it. Running into him, that they realized the impact of exactly who that was. I thought that was a very sweet story, and I'm thinking, sort of wasted on them. Can you imagine if that was you or I, and you're in a park and you meet Paul McCartney? You wouldn't be able to talk.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do.
I wouldn't be able to communicate with him. I'd just be awestruck.
Like, imagine, what if I ran into him at Fortino's where I gave him a haircut?
Shave the shoe, please.
And then I'm thinking, he's 76 years old, on the road in Winnipeg.
On a bike.
And gets a bike to ride around on. And he's wearing the cap and the sunglasses, looking like a young man.
But that's why he looks so good. Because he's always taking care of himself. I mean, you said he what, 76?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he gets his hair dyed, but who cares? He's Paul McCartney, and he looks amazing. I don't know what I would do. What if he came over when I was at Shoppers and I was writing the date on my Q-tips?
He'd say, let me do that for you, mate.
Excuse me, would you like me to write my name on your Q-tips box? Can you imagine that? Paul, I'm sorry to bother you. Listen, I'm trying to keep track of when I bought these Q-tips. Can I get you to autograph it and can we timestamp it?
Sure, absolutely.
So did the... Do we have any photo evidence, Sean, of the McCartney?
Yes. Oh,
we do?
Oh, yeah, there's pictures, of course. Nowadays, everyone seems to have a camera in their hand, Howard, you may have noticed. Not much of that escapes pictures.
So what would I do here? McCartney, Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg here. Park, wedding, you'll see. Lovely pictures. Riding a nice bike.
Oh, there it is. Now, was he in Winnipeg?
Friday night, I think there was, he had a concert. Friday night.
In Winnipeg.
At the MTS Center, yeah.
Wow. Great Paul McCartney. Oh, there it is, yeah.
Cool, eh?
Mm-hmm. And, well, that's really cool. You know, it's funny, because I've told you this before. My other brother, Stephen, you know, Paul McCartney looks a little...
No, Steve looks like McCartney. I agree, totally.
Because that could be Steve photobombing.
Yeah.
And the couple, the guys wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
All right.
Looks like Michael Moore, but much smaller.
But, again, if you read the story, the young couple is... You know,
awestruck.
They're not really. Well, they're in their early 30s. Mm-hmm. They didn't totally appreciate
Sir
the impact.
Well, yeah,
the status.
I mean, the great Paul McCartney. Well, listen, coming back from this first break, we're going to do a couple of things. As I mentioned, there's something never heard of until somewhere on the weekend. Phil, you say you've heard of it, but I'm going to see if Fred has, and pass this on to the rest of you, so you can be part of the 2 billion people on planet Earth that have seen it. It's Humble and Fred Radio.
Every night I just want to go out, get out of my head. Every day I don't want to get up, get out of my bed.
Hold up! One and two and ready and play it!
You're listening to the legendary Humble and Fred Show. Canada's national morning show, Humble and Fred Radio.
I'm sorry, the radio morning show became the podcast, became the morning show, radio show again. It's us. Good to be with you. Our very first fall. Where we've been live in the GTA since 2005. 2005, is that how you...
2005.
I don't care anymore. This program is brought to you by Spearhead Brewing.
Yes, I did some sharing on the weekend. Neighbor John was out front, and I gave him half a dozen Sam Roberts Band Ales. He and his young son, John Jr., enjoyed it thoroughly. They love the American Amber Ale, brewed with the hit Canadian rock band. It's a 4.5er. Oh, yeah. Characteristics of caramel, biscuit, and a dry, zesty finish. It's a winner. Ladies and gentlemen, try this American Amber Ale, the Sam Roberts Band Ale, available at the beer store, LCBO, select LCBOs, and, you know, Spearhead out of Kingston, Ontario. They're doing it proud.
Whether you're traveling across the country or across the planet, make sure that you get flexibility with the data plans from Gig Sky. Gig Sky at night, morning, noon, and nighttime, too. Mm-hmm. They've increased the number of countries with LTE service, reduced the price of some of the most popular plans, and added more data to other plans. It starts with the SIM. It's free. I'll tell you what, if you get your new iPhone... It'll be standard operating procedures.
Yes, with the eSIM. Add Gig Sky to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easily.
And if you don't have that, you can just get one. The SIMs are free. The hotspots are reasonable. And once you have it, it's like you're running around the world with your own Wi-Fi.
Woofy.
If you're with family or friends, up to 32 devices can be connected with the Gig Sky hotspot. Get connected. Get connected for less. Check it out at GigSky.com or go to HumbleAndFredRadio.com and check out the Gig Sky
SIM for free.
Just click it through.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're here in the gritty city. We broadcast to the world from the corner of the Queensway and Islington in Toronto. But, of course, we're live in the Hammer, live in the Golden Horseshoe. And I've been hearing from... old Humble and Fred fans are like, oh, it's great to hear you guys. It's great to hear you guys.
It's very encouraging.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, we're just, we've just started, really.
Mm-hmm. How old are your grandchildren?
5 and 3, almost 6 and 4.
Baby John's turning 6 this December.
December. And May, she turns 4 in November.
So that's incredible.
Yes.
Are they allowed to access the computing machines?
Not really. No.
Are they too young for us?
You know what? No, I just never see them. John got his mom's old phone or something, and sometimes he plays his little game on it, but I think that's the extent of it. I don't know.
We were somewhere recently, you and I. I think it was Boone's. And he said his children aren't into videos too much, or they don't watch a lot of computer.
Okay.
The reason I ask is there. I'm about to play you something. I don't know where I heard about it. Maybe I saw it online or I saw a reference to it. But 1,760,542,000 views of something called the Baby Shark Dance. Wait for it. This is one of those things. I think it came out of China. But this little video, it's only 2 minutes long. Here it comes. Not yet. Here we go. And it's the reason I say it's out of China, because it's got beautiful, cute little Asian children. If I'm allowed to say that, it's
probably Taiwanese.
I think we should do a version of this. Be like Humble Shark and then Freddy Shark and then Philly Shark. Grandma Shark. That would be for Jaleese. That's you. And the kids are doing shark bites. The reason I ask about your kids, because my kids are too young for this, but I would assume that I would assume children all over the world are singing Baby Shark. They have to, because it's got 2 billion views.
Well, it's the first I've heard of it, but I... First thing that strikes me is... Why some and not others? I mean, there's so much out there. What was it about this one that just took hold?
From what I can see...
It's
a group called Pink Fong.
Not that profound.
No, but it's the kind of thing, you know, you can imagine kids your baby's age would love. And I wish I could tell you where I saw the connection or how I heard about it. But remember, I'm a man that's putting dates on Q-tip boxes.
That's true.
I mean, that's who I am now. That's who I've grown into. I mean, I'm no longer hanging on to any semblance of I might be current or hip or cool. Now I'm putting the date.
I was going to say that applied long before the Q-tips.
No, it did.
Well, same here.
Listen, I had it going there, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, but I'm done now.
Did you? Before we started this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I had. Talking about when.
I
could still hang on to being kind of a cool hip guy, you know, because I had to. Doesn't matter what I had.
No, I'll send that to Mel.
Yeah.
And get her to play
it right now.
Apparently, kids,
this is a Korean thing, by the way. It's an educational video.
That's what I'm saying.
It's to teach the people. South up, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un sang the song, apparently.
No, it is one of those things where, it's from a kid's TV show.
Yeah, it's sort of like how people thought of Blue's Clues at some point.
Yes.
It's like it's one of the most basic things, and it's not exactly entertaining, but people learn.
It's entertaining to four-year-olds and me.
Yeah.
My kids lose their mind over Take On Me by Aha. Hey, go play Take On Me by Aha. And then they start bouncing all over the kitchen. Yeah, that's great.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're into the 80s, though.
Yeah, I've got a different version of that in-home assistant. Mine's Hey, Jugal. Hey, Jugal, could you play a little? And then it comes back, I'm not in the mood. I don't... Listen, what am I? Your mother?
I already took on you.
Hire somebody to do that.
That's right. Well, Hey, Jugal, don't Hey, Jugal me. You haven't talked to me in 3 days. All of a sudden... There you go. Take On Me. Aha. Anyway.
This may have been the first alt-rock crossover. Like, big time. You know, this was like in the 80s of whatever the year.
82 or so.
Yeah, like a big CFNY song, and then it crossed over. Now it's...
Now you can hear
probably
it
the first
office.
One, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a great version, by the way, that was recently sung by Aha. It was an MTV special, but if you look it up, like there's a 2017 version of Take On Me. It's beautiful.
Where they do kind of a slow version?
Yeah, with the weird piano and everything, right?
But before we get to that, I think what we should do, because, you know, we're trying to be innovative still, even at our age, maybe we do a mashup. Like we do, like... Yeah, anyway.
Take on Shark.
I like that. You're you know what? You're a master at that keyboard. You are.
Oh, yeah. I can play two things at one time.
You can mash, you can mish.
Miss Mash.
You can mulch.
Hey, Jugal. What? I'm sleeping. Hey, Jake, I may actually use that. That's actually funny.
Hey, Jugal, yeah.
Hey, Jugal, I've never thought of that before.
Yeah, use her.
I'm going to use it up in my comedy routines. You know, some people have Alexa, some people have the Google Home Assistant. Mm-hmm. I have Hey, Jugal. Hey, Jugal, don't you Hey, Jugal me. What am I looking up? Take on Me 2017?
Yes, I think this was from MTV Unplugged. It's one of those sorts of performances.
Oh, no, it's an acoustic. Oh, this is cool. I've heard of this. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Oh, yeah. I love this.
Love it.
I love it.
You know, this is probably what we should be doing. We're getting people to text us because they're way more comfortable texting us. Can we do one of those text things?
I guess if you give them your phone number, probably. Or we could, like...
You can do, like, a star 650 or something. Or
we might have to talk to the phone company, but that could be the case.
Because a guy says here, this is a... Oh, now I've lost it. He says something about a reggae version.
A reggae version of Take On Me by Aha, or just a reggae version? A reggae version.
Take on me, man.
No, where
take
would that
on
go?
My man. Take on me. I'll take on you.
Walking away.
Maybe I'll do a bit where I come up with a bunch of different voices. And so there's Hey Jugal.
Yes.
There's Hey Rasta. Hey Rasta, play me a Take On Me. Can I do that? Can I do a Rasta voice?
Who knows?
You don't know.
Who knows?
Could be the Italian.
Yeah.
Hey, Google. Hey, Google. Hey, Google. Hey, Googly.
Take on me.
Anyway, this is. I've heard this version. It's very nice. Have a listen, everybody.
Take me on.
All right. If you want to text us, our actual cell phone numbers are on the website. The Fred Man and myself. Not Phil, though. Phil is not available on the website. You cannot get a hold of Phil.
Find me on Facebook.
Who sent us? Did somebody send us the hi guys? And did I load it, Phil?
Yeah, I think it was Andy Kale out in.
Yes, he did.
The Hummel and Fred app. Creator.
Oh yeah,
sweet man.
Because it's part of the sound effects you can get on the Hummel and Fred app. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Rafa Perez. Come on.
Hero rapper.
Load. Oh, jeez. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Are you trying to read a text?
I'm trying to read a message from... He sent it to us. It's the least I could do would be to read it. Rafa Perez. He says, Reggae Shark, way better than Baby Shark.
Oh, I see.
Rafa Perez Miller. Thank you, Rafa.
Oh, I see. So it's
excruciating to get that out. But
that took a long time.
I know.
Oh, Reggae Shark.
Yeah.
So Reggae Shark.
Oh, dear.
Oh, this is from the Key of Awesome? I see. Okay.
Gonna tell you the story. I'm a Reggae Shark. There are hundreds of sharks living under the sea. Great whites, armor aids, and white tip reefs. But the one shark discovery always leave out is the dreadlock rasta fish I'm talking about. Reggae shark, he's real. Reggae shark, he played a band with the seals. Oh, reggae shark,
he don't I love
want
that.
To arm ya. Reggae shark, it just wants your ganja. Reggae shark, up the dark.
That's great.
There you go. I like that.
Now, as excruciating as it was to get that text out, it was worth it in the end because we got to hear Reggae Shark.
No, I actually sent that through the Hummel and Fred Facebook Messenger. So I had to go in and get it. But if we had some sort of... Can we look into that?
Sure.
Some streamlined text thing?
Like we could like get a phone number and then let people text our phones.
No, but I hear on the other thing, you can text us at star 1010 or whatever. However that works. I don't know.
But we wouldn't want it at star 1010.
No, you know what I'm just... That's an example.
I know.
Sorry, 20.
No. I know, but I'm just saying, why would we get 1010? That's not ours.
No, I know. You're right. I apologize.
Star 1430.
Hey, I'd like to apologize, too. Who was that guy that got really mad at me last week? Amanda read the I couldn't find the message.
Oh, you mean in the videos, there's this American who keeps asking us to stop talking about coming up to the microphone.
Well, no, he's mad. He's got it mad at me, so that I wreck everything when I tell people to get closer to the mic. And I wanted to find it, but to apologize. Because, you know, as Fred just alluded to, you know, I have a little extra responsibility in terms, because I'm actually... You know, I'm looking at the levels. I've got the board beside me. I've got the computer with all the music beside me. And I'm also listening for other stuff. And I'm not, and I admit it, I don't know how to mix. I'm not a mix master. So when there's like six mics open, sometimes it gets frustrating because I worry that the person speaking or singing isn't being heard. That's
right, right, right.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if I come across persnickety at times, it's because I only want the best for this show.
Jeff Hitchcock.
Yes, Jeff, I apologize.
But he comments on every video about that, so I think he's got a beef or something.
Well, that's fine, and he's probably right. Good to beef. Here we go.
Hi, guys.
Terror people.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Here come down
Pam. Here we go. Here we go. You want to read the first one? Good day, Doc G and Freddie P. It's right up there.
Right on.
Right on.
Tell the Sarge that they don't say whether the coffin is open or closed in the rules. This was a story that Sean was referring to yesterday about people getting to test drive coffins. Or
it's a it's called Fright. It was the Fright Fest Coffin Challenge. Sean told us about it. And it's people, they one of those promotional things, or you spend 30 hours in a coffin.
Okay, you have to eat in there, so open would probably be the option. But again, we don't know for sure.
Well, we were wondering, that was part of the problem, mm-hmm. is we asked Sean, is the coffin open or shut? That was the first question we asked
right.
him.
Which would be the first question that anyone would ask.
Sure.
Because lying in an open coffin would be nothing.
Right.
Lying in a closed coffin would be creepy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they open and close the lid every time.
But I thought it was nice that Brian Barnett was thinking about you yesterday, Sean.
Thank you, Brian.
I like that he calls you Sarge. Hey,
Brian.
Sarge.
Sargento.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
This came from Jay Onrate. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Jay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Onrate.
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 Jay and Dan on TSN.
Jay says, hey, Howard, would love to come join you on the show one day. We connected with him. I sent him a note on Twitter because when you and I were on the great Mike Boone's program last week, Jay commented that when he first came to Ontario, he remembered me from a kids' television show I hosted back in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And Jay said, it would be an honor. Having said that, he's got two kids under three. Imagine the chaos. So he would like to do it on the phone, and I will tell him that that is more than acceptable. He even says, if you guys are up for that, I could come on anytime. Happy to jump on last minute. Imagine that. He just wants to be like, hey, we call Jay.
Maybe he could be our sports correspondent.
If you need someone to fill in, I'd like to have him come in. If you're, like, he'd be one of those guys that if you were away for a few weeks.
Sure.
He'd be one of the people I would rotate in.
You but know. Difficult. He's. I don't think he leaves agent court till like 2 a.m. or something.
Yeah, he works hard. He works hard.
But listen to this.
Oh, who do you know? How do you know?
We, you know.
TV guys.
He works. How
they
dare
just
you?
Sit there and read off a teleprompter.
But he still has to read.
And make facial expressions.
Great. But, well, why don't we send this to Jay?
He'd love it.
And say, hey, listen, when you're finished your cushy TV job, he probably gets a ride home from the TV people.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. And it's so hard to do your job when you have, like, all the snacks. They've got great snacks in TV.
He says, just let me know either way which way you would like me. But, you know, we'll accommodate you anyway. He says, you guys are an inspiration to us.
An inspiration.
To us, meaning the broadcasting community. Love that you're doing it on your own. Better than ever.
Wait a second. What do you mean the broadcast community?
That's the broadcast community.
He doesn't say that. Are you inferring that's what he means?
Well, who's us then?
Him and his partner.
You're an inspiration to us. No,
Jay and Silent Bob.
No. It's wider than that. I can feel it.
Damn. Wait a second.
You guys are an inspiration to us. He doesn't mean him and Dan. He means the broadcasting community at large.
No one would be happier to know that was true than I. But I think he's referring to himself and Silent Bob.
Who's
Jay and Silent Bob? Is that,
no, Dan.
Oh, Jay and Dan.
Jay and Silent Dan.
Silent Bob.
Oh, dear.
Jesus.
You know, from the movies. Jay and Silent Bob, like Kevin Smith.
No, I know. But it's Dan.
Okay. All right. You're right. Yeah. And we're an inspiration to the wider broadcast community.
That's what he's talking about.
No, he's not.
Phone him.
I will. He does not. Listen, there's no. Here's what he says. You guys are an inspiration to us. .. Mm-hmm. Love that you're doing it on your own, comma, better than ever, period. Great punctuation, by the way.
Why wouldn't he say you guys are an inspiration to Dan and I?
Well, because I think he would assume that us is him and Dan.
Or his channel,
wider.
Or his coworkers as well.
I listen.
Howard doesn't think big.
You know, here's the funny thing, is if I'd said what he means is the wider broadcast community, then you would have taken the other and said, no, it just means him and his children.
See, this is the way we got to go here.
Way to go.
Just got another message through Facebook at Humble and Fred. Hey, Fred, a good text to landline service is something called WIP. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we can look into that.
So when they text, we can pick up the phone and it'll just read to us, I guess.
Well, I don't know how it works.
Like you talk into
this
it.
This sounds like something that you might want to look into.
Sure, yeah.
We could maybe get it on the Hey Jugal.
Hey
Jugal, read our latest text. I'm not in the mood to read a text right now.
So many of them.
So many texts. Anyway, Jay Honoret says that we're an inspiration to somebody. You guys are an inspiration to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he should have said in brackets, the entire broadcast community. Yeah.
I think that's what he's referring to.
Okay.
And the United Nations and the galaxy.
You're an inspiration to us and Jesus. All right.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
This came from Colin Wilson. Hello, Colin. And he sent me a picture, I believe they're called. And it says, Humble might be worth a call. And what it is, it's a car where someone has, what do they call that, Freddie, when you deck your car out in some messaging?
Wrapping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is kind of like that. It's not quite. He's actually put letters on the back of his car. And it says, the Gout Doctor.
Oh.
And it has a number. And I'm going to call it later and say, hey, can you come over and look at my toe? And I guess that's what he does. He just travels around looking at people's gouty feet.
No, it is not a company expense.
I'm sorry?
It's not a company expense to have the Gout Doctor come in.
It's not.
That's...
I thought it was.
No, that would be the Chambers plan, maybe.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I'm sure it would be covered. The Chamber plan is so extensive that I'm sure a Gout Doctor visit.
How about this one?
All right.
Hi, guys.
From Tanner Coos.
I'm sorry?
Tanner Coos. K-U-U-S. Would that be Coos?
Coos.
Coos in the morning.
And he says,
classic rock all day long.
He says, I have a tagline you could advertise your show with.
All right.
And he says, here it is. A group of elderly, middle class, and aggressively white men discuss high octane topics such as golf retirement and their failing bodies.
That pretty much describes it.
It's wordy. He says, I'm a longtime listener of Funny 820, and I think your show is a great addition to my morning. Keep it up. Tanner Coos from Brantford.
Tanner Coos in the morning.
That's a nice...
That is nice.
That's a nice note.
Humble and Fred, a group of elderly, middle-aged, middle-class, and aggressively white men discussing golf, retirement, and gouty toes.
Gouty toes.
Tanner and Gout in the morning. Every once in a while, Fred and I will come across something on Facebook that we agree on that is ridiculous. And makes us wonder, you know, what's left for us as humanity and human beings. Here's somebody's actual post. I showed this to Fred before the show started. Here's his post, Phil. Got to start working out tomorrow! ! Some inspirational words. Sorry. Some inspirational words would be helpful. That's his post. That's the person's post. Now, I'm sure the person's a nice person. But there's a tip. Would that be oversharing? I think that's oversharing or useless sharing.
You know, I love it. I love it because what it's done is it's made me go completely the other way.
Yes.
Like, you know how many people, I'm in the hospital last week, you know how many people post pictures like of their laying on a gurney or something in the hospital?
Those are awesome.
1 hour from now, operation, and then they Like, I didn't post anything. And it's because of that. Because those postings are so ridiculous.
Sure, and pointless.
And here's the thing. Now he's going to have people going, hey, how's the workout thing? So if he turns out to be a slob and, you know, only does it for a week.
Yeah.
People are going to be going, hey, I saw your post. How's the workout going? Well, you know, not very good. Why would you do that?
Why do it?
But if there weren't social media, we're going to a break in 45 seconds, so I'll just say, if there weren't social media, that's the kind of thing that you would say maybe to a friend or just think to yourself.
Yeah.
That would be inside your head going, got to start working out tomorrow. Oh, guess I should look up some inspirational words.
Maybe.
Like last week, after my surgery, I sent you guys a couple of pictures, and but just internally to my buddies.
Yeah,
right? I'm not posting it on Facebook.
As people worried about
you. You know, five, six, 7 years ago, maybe I would have. But now it's so disgusting what people do. I don't even want to go there.
Well, I think the same thing because it was a novelty, and that was before people started telling us that they're starting a workout regime and looking for inspiration. Not from us. Not here. Hey, if you're looking for inspiration, go somewhere else. It's Humble and Fred Radio and humbleandfredradio.com.